Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision My Coach Cricket Show, and you can find us at pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe in the UK.
And I'm Kevin Sampath from Australia. Hope you guys have all had a good week. I've had a lovely rested week in our bye for our cricket season. It's been good having just a little bit of time off, a weekend to myself, although we did miss cricket a bit, so me and my mate went and watched the cricket, a lower grade play their season out, and I must say it was pretty interesting watching some of their players, and the skill level was similar to our grade as well. Mm-hmm. What have you been doing this week, David?
I have been training again. We are looking forward to Christmas now, so it's winding down time really. Although things are busy on the My Coach site, and yeah. I've got plenty of training to do. But we're definitely getting that feel where, you know, there's a lot of adverts on the telly for Christmas, and the weather is cold, so you're starting to feel a little bit Christmassy, especially with all the Christmas decorations up in the shops and things like that. So yeah, really, to pass the time, I've been training, updating My Coach, and working on the Pitch Vision Academy, which I told you about a couple of shows ago.
Yeah, that's right.
And I've also started a training log. I thought it might be interesting to start a training log of what I'm actually doing week to week, so people can see what I'm doing and maybe get an idea of the practical application of the stuff that we talk about on My Coach. So I put down the fitness stuff that I'm doing, and when the time comes, I'll start to put down the skill training that I'm doing as well. And Kev, you've started doing that as well, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it'll be good to see the different ways both of us train, or different ways both of us approach our cricket. I mean, you obviously, your cricket's a lot more serious than my cricket, and for amateurs out there, it'll be interesting to see the techniques I take to approach our cricket. Plus as well, I'll be learning a lot of stuff from your log as well, so it should be interesting to watch and monitor, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. To get a whole idea, and it really extends. If anyone else wants to put their own training logs on the Pitch Vision forums, which is where ours are, then you can just head over there and start a log, no problem. Just create a new thread and off you go. So if you head over to pitchvision.com/forum, then you can get our logs, Kevin and I's, and you can start your own if you feel you want to contribute to that and take part in the site. Which kind of brings me on to the next point that I wanted to bring up, which is you can contribute to the site in a number of different ways, and I do encourage everyone who's listening to head over to pitchvision.com and have a look at the different ways that you can contribute to the site. Pretty much every post that I do has an option for you to add your own comments. There's a forum there which you can discuss things in more detail than you can in the comments section. And also we have a Facebook page which you can become a fan of and put your photos and videos and posts or questions up there as well. So do come over to pitchvision.com and have a look at that. And please feel free to contribute, because I do read every contribution that the readers and the listeners to My Coach put onto the site. So just remind us, Kev, what grade are you in and what grade did you go and see?
I'm in B7s at the moment, and I went and watched B12s over the weekend, which was the lowest grade in the B section.
Right.
And yeah, as I said before, the skill level was pretty much similar, so it just means that the name of the grade is just, it's not, I mean, it doesn't show the level of skill in the grade, but it's similar. And the thinking, I mean, throughout the entire team was similar as well. I mean, for the first time ever, I saw a field where everyone was on the offside, and that was interesting to watch. Actually,
that's amazing.
Actually, they had the offside field for about 2 hours, and then the batsmen kind of got the point, and they got a few edges to the leg side, and then they finally got a wicket, the bowling team, and then the batting captain sent out a slogger, and he just took the attack apart. I mean, the offside, he just hit everything onto the leg side, used all these shots I've never seen before. And the captain was in disarray, and he had to use all these new tactics. But it was really exciting to watch, except for those 2 hours where they scored about 20 runs.
I would be tempted, as the captain did, to send in someone, or do it myself, to just take an off-stump guard or something ridiculous like that and hit everything to the leg side. because it's undefended completely. So you're guaranteed at least two, aren't you? And even if you just get a tiny little touch on it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think the batsmen were a bit hesitant, and it was a bit windy out there as well, so they didn't want to take any chances. And I think they were trying to save the game or something, but they weren't the most aggressive batsmen I've ever seen.
Oh, right. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, yeah, maybe that's a bit different then. Maybe you probably leave most balls then if you're trying to save the game.
Yeah.
20 off 2 hours is probably not too bad.
Yeah, that's right. How's your vitamin D little thing going, David?
It's a bit early to tell yet. I've only been taking it for a week, so I haven't noticed much of a difference, but I wasn't really expecting to notice much of a difference within a week.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm probably going to give it the full month and see how it goes for a month and see if that makes any difference. Because I'm stuck indoors quite a lot at the moment, as well as it, you know, as well as it being not that sunny in this part of the world anyway at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying being indoors because I'm working on the My Coach pages, which is the best job in the world, but
Yeah,
it means I'm not getting enough sunlight.
fair enough. Right, let's get right into the questions for this week.
Okay.
Right, welcome to the question section. Question one for this week is from Jordan in Carlow Park in Melbourne, and he says that he's finding this year a bit tough. I mean, he's running in much faster and getting good bounce, but he finds that he's bowling too short about 40% of the times. And he's asked you, David, if you have any suggestions. He does sound like a young bowler. I remember I used to have this problem as well, and the problem I used to have, well, a coach later told me, was that I held the ball too deeply into my hands. And loosening up my grip a little bit, it sort of fixed the problem up. What's your intake on this, David?
That sounds like a very sensible bit of advice, especially if it worked for you. If the ball is too deep in the hand, then you can release the ball a little bit later, and then that's really what the cause of the problem is. The you're releasing the ball a fraction of a second later, so the
Yeah.
ball is short. Having a more traditional grip where the ball is just on the tips of your fingers instead of deep in your hand, or if you're gripping it too hard, you know, you should be gripping it just hard enough to be able to hold it rather than really hanging on to it for dear life. That's another thing as well.
Yeah.
The other thing that pops into my mind is that perhaps the action isn't as repeatable as it should be.
Okay.
If a high percentage of balls are inaccurate, then that suggests perhaps there's some minor changes in action.
Yeah, so you're suggesting it might be technically incorrect, or as in like causing his body problems?
It may be that his action isn't the same all the time. So something goes wrong in his action when he bowls short.
Okay.
For example, he might drop his head down more quickly,
Yeah.
and that would cause him to bowl shorter.
Okay.
So he'd probably want to get someone to look at him bowling a few different balls, or maybe bowling a whole spell.
Yeah.
Because if most of those 40% are towards the end of a normal bowling spell,
Yeah.
then perhaps he's getting fatigued, and that's where there's a problem coming in.
Yeah.
The way to get around a lot of these problems is good old-fashioned target practice, which is you can do any time you do it on your own. As long as you've got some balls and plenty of space or a net, then you can just go and bowl at a target. Lay a target down on the pitch. You can start with a large target like a towel,
Yeah.
and then make that into maybe a hand towel, a tea towel, something like that.
Yeah.
And then even drop down to something the size of a CD if you're getting really good.
Yeah.
And the other thing to remember is the mental side of it. When you do bowl a ball that is of the right line and length, try and remember how that feels. And when you do bowl a ball that is a bit short, and you think to yourself, well, hang on a minute, I didn't do anything different there. Why did it come out shorter? Try and compare how it felt differently.
Okay.
Because if you think about it, you'll know the feel difference. You'll think to yourself, well, I did release that a little bit later. What made me release that a little bit later? And try and think through the feel of it and see if that makes any difference.
Right. So it's really a mixture of everything, isn't it? I mean, it's fitness, technique, the mental side of cricket, like a lot of other sides of cricket, it's everything mixed together, and he really has to get everything right to sort of stop bowling those short balls all the time.
That's right. And to a certain extent, it's trial and error. Because we can't see him bowling,
yeah,
it's hard to say what's causing the problem.
Yeah.
So, how long did you have the problem for?
Ever since I was young. I mean, no, I didn't really pick it up when I was sort of 12, 13. A short ball was just a short ball, and sometimes it even got wickets. But as you got into the higher grades, when the short balls really get punished, then you start noticing that this is really bad. And one day, one of the other coaches, actually, the coach from the other team, came and told me, he said, he was telling me about my grip and that I should really concentrate on that and try and loosen it up a bit, put it on the tip of my fingers, and actually bowl well the game after that. So I have a lot to thank to him. So yeah, it's just little things like that that can make a big difference.
Definitely. And sometimes it can be a little thing, like what happened with you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be something you really, really have to work on again and again and again.
Yeah.
Before you get it right.
Yeah.
So you have to do, it's trial and error, really. I mean, he may be lucky. He may just have to adjust his grip.
Yeah.
And like you, it was sorted. So you don't bowl anywhere near as much short as you used to then.
That's right.
Well, there you go. So it could be something as simple as that. Or if his action is all over the place, different every ball, then he might have a bit more to work on.
Yeah, fatigue is a major side. I mean, I still have problems with that sometimes in my cricket nowadays. I mean, once fatigue kicks in, your whole technique is out of the door, and it's just you sort of running in and chucking a ball without any rhythm or nothing, and that really does more harm to you than anything else. I mean, even a lot of international cricketers struggle to train it in sometimes. Let's get into the second question. Ben asks for any tips we might have on sweeping, the paddle sweep, slog sweep, or the reverse sweep. Now, this is really your kind of area, David. I mean, is this really a technical issue? Do you have to really train the technical side of this to get it right?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it's a big technical thing, the sweep shot. It's an across-the-line shot, so it's a bit more of a risky shot than a drive, for example.
Yeah.
So it takes a bit more practice to have the confidence to be able to do it well.
Yeah.
And the real key technical points when it comes to playing the sweep shot is to get nice and low down with a long stride. And then when you're in that position, when you're in that low down sweeping position, don't try and hit the ball too hard.
Yeah.
It's a swing of the bat. You're not trying to smash the ball. You're trying to swing across the line of the ball and make contact with it.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think he should train all these shots in at once, or do you think he should really concentrate on one at a time?
I think if you're trying to learn a new skill, it's important not to go completely crazy by trying to learn every variation of the sweep shot, for example. As he said, you know, you've got your traditional sweep, your paddle sweep, your reverse sweep, and there's more than one type of reverse sweep.
Yeah.
And there's the slog sweep as well, which is not really a sweep at all, really. It's just a slog, really.
Yeah.
I think the sweep is in there just to make it sound a bit more professional.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about the sweep shot, which is a good shot to play,
yeah,
especially to spinners, then, yeah, work on the sweep shot first. And then once you've got a handle on the sweep shot, then maybe move on to the reverse sweep or the slog sweep or another one like that. So, yeah, maybe do it one at a time would be a better way of doing it. And the way that you do that is you start with somebody feeding the ball to you, giving you a bobble feed, and then move on to doing it in the nets, and then move on to do it in practice matches, and then move on to do it in real matches. So there's a clear progression there. We were talking about progressions last week.
Yeah.
There's a clear progression from starting with a tennis ball and someone giving you a nice easy feed to selecting the shot in a net situation, to do it in a practice match under a bit more pressure, and then to do it in a game under the most pressure.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of types of sweep shots, actually, David. I mean, I've seen the sort of smothered sweep shot, or there's the fully driven, I mean, fully wound up sweep shot, which really is sort of like an attacking sweep shot. Do they both have to be trained separately?
I'm just trying to think what the first one is you mean. I mean, the normal sweep shot is the one where you swing across it and you try and hit it for four.
Yep. The smothered is just, I've seen Hayden play this a lot. It's just like a little, sort of like, it's sort of a mix between a sweep shot and a leg lance. He just smothers the ball and...
Oh, like a little, yeah.
Yeah, hits it so fine.
Like a little paddle, lets the ball hit the bat.
Yeah.
And it just runs off.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, okay. You can actually do both of those while you're learning the sweep shot, because the first one of those is a little bit easier to play. So you can learn how to play that one first.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to do a complete swing of the bat.
Yeah.
At club level, probably that's only going to get you one run.
Yeah.
He's probably not going to run off the face and go for four at club level.
Yes.
But it's a good way to learn the first half of the sweep shot, if you like.
Yeah.
And then you can move into playing the shot with a full swing of the bat.
Yeah. Just while we're there, what kind of ball do you reckon he should play the shot to? Anything on leg side, or can it be played to an offside ball as well?
When you're starting to learn the shot, the best ball to play it to is the ball which is just outside the leg stump on a good length. The reason being to do that is that if it's just outside the leg stump, you can't be out LBW if you miss it.
Yeah.
Although, that said, you do see the top players, they can sweep from way outside the off stump. Someone like Kevin Peterson, he's very tall, he's got a very long reach, very good eye.
Yeah.
He can get balls from way outside off stump and hit them through the leg side with a type of sweep shot.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't recommend doing that if you're just learning the shot. Save that for the balls which are outside leg stump to start with.
Yeah.
It's a good way to disrupt the bowler's length if you play it to a good length ball. And the other reason to do that is if you are doing it to half volleys, then it's a bit more risky. The ball might go under the bat, and also really half volleys you should be driving. And you can't do it to long hops, because you're getting low down and you don't want to be hit in the face.
Yeah.
So if you get a long hop, you know, you can do a traditional pull shot, really. So do it to a good length ball as a way of breaking up the bowler's hold on you if he's not bowling many bad balls to you.
Yeah. While we're on the topic of having a good eye to play this shot, I remember once... a couple of years back when I tried to play this shot without much practice, actually, and I got bowled to it, and I went to the partner at the other end and I asked him what went wrong there, and he said, "You didn't watch the ball, mate." And I think that's got to be stressed upon highly. I mean, a lot of players they practice the technique and then they just forget to watch the ball. You really have to watch the ball into the bat, don't you?
Yes, you do. As much as you can. I mean, it's very difficult to actually watch the ball onto the bat, but you should try and watch the ball onto the bat. That really is the key coaching point here. Watch the ball right onto the bat. It's very easy, especially with a shot like the sweep.
Yeah.
Where you're worried the ball might bounce up into your face to turn your head at the last minute.
Yeah.
But that's going to reduce your chances of hitting it.
Yeah.
If you're doing it to a ball which is outside of a leg stump, you should be pretty safe, because... if you miss it, it should hit you on the pad.
Yeah.
You should be okay. But not always. You know, it can bounce up. You can miss it with the bat. It can go past the pad. And if it's turned, you know, if it's a leg spinner or a left arm spinner.
Yeah.
If you're a right-handed batsman, then you can get bowled. So, yeah, you do have to watch the ball right onto the bat.
Okay. And would you recommend sweeping to a leg spinner? Or is it safe not to do at the start of when you learn it? I mean, if you're a right-handed batsman.
if you're right-handed batsman, so the ball's turning from leg to off.
Yeah.
It's a bit more risky because you've got the chance of getting bowled with it.
Yeah.
So you may think to yourself, okay, while I'm learning this shot, I may only play it to an off spinner or a spinner who bowls from off to leg because I'm less likely to get bowled. Or I'll do it on a pitch where there isn't much turn.
Okay.
So you know if it's pitching outside leg stump, it's not going to turn enough to cause a problem.
Yeah.
So you've got to take that on your own judgment, really, whether you're confident enough to be able to do it or not. As long as you know the risk, then you can go for it.
And at what stage do you think that a batsman should start trying out the reverse sweep, slog sweep, and all the other different kinds of sweep shots?
Well, traditionally, as we've said, you can start to develop these other sweep shots once you're confident with the traditional sweep. But the good thing is, once you've got the traditional sweep down, then the reverse sweep really is just learning how to get into the reverse position. And then the actual shot itself is pretty similar.
Yeah.
The slog sweep's a bit different because it's all about, well, what the professionals say, clearing the front leg and hitting into a certain arc and, you know, all these complicated terms, which is basically just hitting across the line, really giving yourself as much chance as possible to hit across the line. So that might take a little bit longer. And it depends what type of cricket you're playing. If you're playing cricket where the technical side of it is a bit more important.
Yeah.
The traditional technical side of it is a bit more important. You know, the longer formats of games. Then you probably don't need to learn the reverse sweep and the slog sweep as quickly as you were if you were playing a limited over format where every run counts and field placings are very important and you need to work the ball into gaps.
Yeah.
So, again, you have to play it a little bit by how you play.
Okay. All right. Question three for the day. Ashton asks how to improve his bat speed and he wants to get more power onto his shots. We were talking about this a couple of cricket shows ago, David, regarding my bowling arm speed. This is sort of similar and you were talking about clap push-ups, and I think that's what Ashwin was referring to as well. Is this a mainly strength-based? I mean, can this only be trained by a strength-based, are there other stuff to add to this?
Yeah, it's two things together really. It's strength, as you say, where the clap push-ups are a good thing to do for this as well as for the arm speed.
Yeah,
for bowling, but timing is a critical factor in that as well as strength and power. So the technical side of it is very important.
Okay.
So if someone was saying, you know, how can I get more bat speed? Yeah, I would show them how to do it from a fitness point of view, but I would also have a look at their technique as well.
What kind of technical aspects would you look at if you're trying to improve the bat speed?
The main things I would look at is the types of things that cricket coaches have been looking at for as long as they've been cricket coaches, really. How high does the backswing go? As the downswing comes through, are you accelerating the bat through the ball as you play the shot? Are your hands working together to create the maximum amount of control and power? The top hand, for example, controls the shot. The bottom hand gives the power. So you don't want to just say, is it the top hand? You also want to say, is the bottom hand coming in at the right moment to give you that snap of power, that extra little bit of speed? And are you using your whole body? So your arms, your shoulders, and your wrists all together to create as long a lever as possible, because the longer the lever, the more power you can generate, so the more bat speed you have.
Okay.
So looking at it from a technical point of view, that's the type of thing that coaches should be looking at anyway.
Yep.
But in particular, if you want to improve your bat speed, those are the things you want to look at and see how you can improve those things.
And if you're looking at it from a fitness aspect, is it only training your arms to improve bat speed, or do you have to train your whole body?
Definitely not. You need to train your whole body.
Okay.
It starts with your lower body. Everything starts with your lower body.
Yeah.
The more force that you generate against the ground, the more power you can produce. That's just the law of physics, because every action has an equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah.
So you need to have very strong legs, and you need to be able to get into a position where you're very well balanced.
Yeah.
And that starts again with the legs.
Yeah.
The head's an important part of the balance as well, the position of the head, but we're going back to a technical thing there.
Yeah, that's right.
And then everything really comes from that, the joints in your hips, your spine, your shoulders all work together to generate the maximum amount of force. So you need to be stable in the trunk area, and you need to be mobile around sort of the tops of your body, the shoulder area, and also in your hips. You need to be mobile to be able to get into position.
Yeah. And what does that look like in a training program, David?
Well, you want to be working on each thing as a separate fitness element. So you want to be looking at your mobility, looking at your strength, looking at your power, almost as separate things, and almost tick them off as you do them. So, for example, power, you would do the clap press ups. For example, strength, you would do a range of resisted exercises like chin ups, squats, deadlifts, bench pressing, things like that.
Yeah.
For mobility, you would do the kind of mobility work that you see me encourage people do as part of their warm up. You know, those walking lunges and those shoulder twists and things like that.
Yeah.
And for stability, core stability, you want to be doing stuff that helps you stabilize your trunk, and also stuff that allows you to transfer power through your trunk. So stabilizing would be an exercise like planks.
Yeah.
And generating power would be something like a medicine ball throw, throwing a medicine ball up in the air, using your whole body to generate the power.
Yeah. What's your take on using a heavier and lighter bat to improve bat speed, David?
That's an interesting one. It's similar to the heavier and lighter ball. It's never really been researched, so we don't really know if it makes any difference or not. You have to be careful, because if you go too heavy with a heavy bat, then you can upset technique.
Yeah, that's right.
So you've got to be careful with that. But with a lighter bat, I can't really see any problem. If you get a lighter bat and you start using it, then you're not going to be upsetting your technique, but you're going to be able to move it much faster through the air than you can at your normal weight of bat.
Yeah.
So it's possible that using a combination of a small amount with a heavier bat, a slightly heavier bat,
Yeah.
a slightly larger amount with a lighter bat, and then batting with your normal bat as well,
Yeah.
and doing all that in one session, that could make a difference to your speed. Because if you start with a if you what you probably want to do is start with a heavy bat,
Yeah.
then go to your normal bat for a few balls, and then go to the lighter bat, and then go back to your normal weight bat. Then you should feel like the normal weight bat is able to move through the air a lot faster
Yeah.
if you did that over a few weeks. But that said, that's only the theory in my head. I've not ever experimented with. I have very briefly experimented with tying those ankle weights,
Yeah, that's right.
to a bat. I've very briefly experimented with that, but that didn't really work because the weight wouldn't stay on, so it slips off the bat, and it didn't really work out. And it's a bit too heavy because they're about half a kilogram,
Yeah.
and that's probably a little bit too much weight to add to it.
Yeah.
So I don't know how practical that would be, purely on the fact that you would need three bats of different weights.
Yeah.
So that might be a bit difficult to do.
Yeah.
But theoretically, And if anyone out there's tried it and it's worked for them, get in touch, mycoach@pitchvision.com. Let us know.
Yeah. Regarding the technical side of the bat speed, would you recommend like a higher backlift or anything?
In terms of pure biomechanics,
yeah.
If you think about it, the higher the bat goes up, the further it's coming back down again, so the more speed you can generate as it comes back down.
Yeah.
But changing the backlift can have all kinds of different effects on the rest of the batting technique.
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful to blanket say, have a high backlift, and therefore you'll have faster back speed, so everybody have a high backlift.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't work for some people having a high backlift.
Yeah.
So you can do it without a high backlift. Paul Collingwood can hit the ball pretty far, and his backlift is very low.
Yeah.
So, yes, in theory, the answer to that one is yes. But approach any major technical changes, like increasing the height of your backlift, with extreme care, especially if you've been using a certain backlift for a while. It doesn't matter so much if you're just learning. You know, if you're 10 years old and you're just learning, and some coach comes up to you and says, we need your higher backlift, because you're just learning anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, why not? But if you've been using the same backlift for 5 years,
yeah,
and you've had some success with it, then you want to think very carefully about changing it.
I guess it works for some and it doesn't work for others. Could a higher backlift slow in the batting process or the shot making process?
Well, it can upset your timing, of course, and that is a very big part of batting, is timing.
Yeah.
If you're used to the bat coming down in a certain amount of time, because you've got a low backlift, and then the bat comes back down in X number of seconds, or 0.X number of seconds, then yeah, if you suddenly start lifting the backlift up like Brian Lara and going right up above your head, then suddenly the ball's arrived before you're halfway down.
Yeah.
So it can upset your timing quite a lot.
Yeah.
So that's why you need to think about it before you do it. But yeah, in theory, if the ball and the bat meet each other at the right moment, then it's better to have a higher backlift than it is to have a lower backlift.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that's all we have time for today. If you guys have any questions, please email us at mycoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycoach@pitchvision.com. And tune into our training programs to monitor, and please post in some of yours as well. It'll be interesting to view it. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for your time, David.
Yeah, anytime. Yeah, head over to pitchvision.com/forums and join in the training logs.
Sweet. So this is Kevin Sampath from Australia signing off.
And this is David Hinchliffe in the UK.